Thank you, Kim and Greg and Nadine, for leading us in that very meaningful act of worship. I want to read from Psalm 119, the first 11 verses, and then we'll refer to some other verses in that psalm as well, as we're under the general theme of handling the ups and downs of life. And so let's read and see how God will speak to us through these words. Psalm 119, verse 1, begins by saying, "Happy are people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey His decrees and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your principles. Then I will not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands. When I learn your righteous laws, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your principles. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word and following its rules. I have tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your principles." Each one of us, no doubt, has a story of how something that was said to us made an indelible impression. Maybe a sentence or a phrase that someone spoke to us, it could have been a positive word or a negative word, but it was communicated to you or to us, and it just, we couldn't get rid of that sentence. And there are certain triggers that always bring back that sentence or that phrase. I was sorting through my files recently, and I came upon a term paper that I wrote in seminary. Now, that's over 40 years ago. And the reason I kept this term paper was because the professor of Old Testament, Dr. Walter Kaiser, who graded my paper, wrote on the title page, "Fabulous job, Peter," and then had an A on that. Wow, for a guy who's never considered himself to really be an academic, to get a term paper, "Fabulous job, Peter," in big letters and an A. It's, I could never forget that. It made a profound impression on me and encouraged me in a very powerful way. And the fact that I've only saved one term paper of all the ones I wrote, kind of indicates how special that moment was. Fabulous job. I can do it. I did it. And so maybe you have some sentence or some phrase that someone spoke to you that blessed you, or maybe you're still hurting from a phrase that someone spoke to you harshly. I remember Zig Ziglar's words. Zig Ziglar, the great motivator, he was in his prime in the 70s and 80s when I was attending these kind of conferences on a regular basis. And he tells a story of how his life was changed by really a stranger. He was working in a store as stocking shelves. And this customer took a liking to him, and I don't know how many times he had met this guy. But anyway, in this conversation with Zig one day, the customer says to him, "Zig, you have what it takes to be highly successful." I say, wow, that sentence imprinted itself on his mind, and he believed it, and he went on and took control of his life, and he became highly successful in business and as a motivational speaker and as a Sunday school teacher. Zig traveled all over the world to give motivational speakers, but he had a rule. "I have to be back to Dallas for Sunday because I teach an adult Sunday school class," and that was always his rule, to make a priority to be back home. But anyway, highly successful. But that one sentence kind of became an unforgettable sentence for him. Well, if our words are powerful, and they are, That means we have to be careful how we use that power. How much more could we expect God's words to be powerful? And so Psalm 119, which we are studying today, is a celebration of God's word, God's laws. And it's a tribute to God's words. And it's in praise of God's words. Psalm 119 is a very special psalm and very special chapter of the Bible, as many of you will know. What's special about Psalm 119? The most obvious thing you could say, what is special? I don't often do this, but there you go. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. 176 verses. Aren't you glad I'm only read 11 of them? And we're not tackling all. You can't do a verse-by-verse exegesis of Psalm 119. It would be very frustrating because there is no order in Psalm 119. The author, we don't know who the author was, but he had this idea that he would write a section, 8 verses, for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so he's got 22 sections, starting with Alpha, Aleph, Beth, and right to the end, and I was going to look up to impress you with my Hebrew, but I didn't get there, so anyway. 22 sections, 8 verses long, and when you set that kind of a grid for yourself as an author, you know that you're going to have to cheat a little bit. You can't have an orderly progression when you have this kind of a template. And so it's very random. The information we get in Psalm 119 is very random, and it's chaotic, but it keeps, and it's very repetitive. The author repeats himself endlessly and without apology. But in the process, he comes out with all these jewels, these unforgettable words that impress us. He uses synonyms for God's words, and he has almost every verse of the 176 refers to God's word in some way. He uses some synonym for this, for God's word. So there's God's word, God's law, God's path, the decrees, the commandments, and many other synonyms that are used in the psalm. It would be a great exercise. If I was a youth pastor here, I would assign the young people, and we'd get teams, 22 teams, how many different synonyms are used in each section? And then we'd total it, how many different words are used to refer to God's law. But I'm not the youth pastor, but there's just a suggestion for you if you are the youth pastor, or if the youth pastor that we acquire here that's on his way is short on ideas, you can suggest it to him. How about we do this for an assignment for next week? How many synonyms for God's word are there in Psalm 119? And you could check that out. Well, I want to make order out of this psalm, this repetitive, chaotic, random information. I have gathered my thoughts around 5 themes. Themes that I hope will touch your heart. Themes that I hope that you will embrace and say, okay, if that's what God's word is all about, I want that. I need that. I'm for that. So here's theme number 1 is the theme of happiness. God's word, God's laws, God's command bring us happiness. Verse 1. We read verse 1. Happy are people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey his decrees and search for him with all their hearts. Then verse 35. Make me walk along the paths of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. I have to confess that I was a little hesitant in using the word happiness in one of my titles because it seems a little shallow and trivial and self-serving, doesn't it, to talk about our happiness. But then I realized, well, if God's word validates the pursuit of happiness, why should we resist it? Let's embrace it. God is concerned for how we feel. He wants, and the word happiness is used many times. It's also sometimes used in joy. And when Jesus gave the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn, and all those, the Greek there, word, really is the primary translation for that Greek word is happiness. So the Beatitude could be translated, oh, the happiness of. So the point being, God is concerned about our happiness, our emotional state, and he wants us to have a joyful approach to life. Now, I think, you know, the Christian life is often misunderstood and misrepresented. Let's say that the kind of the typical picture is that if you want to really get serious about God, you have to get really serious in your ambiance, and you have to kind of be negative. You have to be kind of judgmental and critical and negative, and you can't have too much fun. That's kind of a caricature, a false caricature of the Christian life. It's not a biblical picture. No, the biblical picture of a person who wholeheartedly follows God is they are just a lot of fun. They are the best people to be with because they radiate energy, positive energy, and they radiate hope and love. And so when we're in tune with God, God's word, it brings us happiness, joy. There's a link. So if you are here today and you're saying, well, I'm not very happy. I don't feel much happiness. Link up with God's word. God's word is filled with encouraging words that will bring us happiness. So there's a connection between the message of God and how we feel God's joy. Now, I want to say this before I forget that when we're celebrating God's word, it's not God's word alone, because God's word is just a pathway to God. See, we're not really wanting to know what the word says. We're wanting to get to know God. And so the Bible is the pathway to God. When we pick up the Bible, it's really saying, I want to be in touch with God. And so we always want to look beyond the word to the author of the word and not forget him. That is our pursuit, and that is our goal. So let's allow God to cheer us up. And the beauty about God, the happiness that God brings us, is that it is not dependent on favorable circumstances. It transcends favorable circumstances. You know, in the worldly sense, happiness is related to temporal success and having everything going your way. Then you're happy, and if it doesn't, you're sad. But in the spiritual sense, you know, it is possible, and I have seen people dying of crippling diseases who radiate happiness from their heart and their soul. I have seen people who have been devastated financially have a glowing testimony of joy, how God is with them in their troubles. So God wants to give us, the happiness that God gives us is an inner happiness that transcends the temporal circumstances around us. So let's open ourselves up to God's word and allow his joy and his happiness to fill us. That's one of the themes. Read Psalm 119 and see if you can pick out the places where happiness, our well-being, is nurtured. The second theme that I want to draw to your attention is the theme of obedience and right choices. God's word brings us the power and the wisdom to make sound moral choices and right honest choices. Verse 7 says, I learned your righteous laws. I will thank you by living as I should. Verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word and following its rules. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then verse 105, a favorite of many, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the Bible warns us that making right decisions will not always be easy. In fact, the Bible lets us know that none of us will succeed in always doing the right things. Look, for example, at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, where it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, the beauty of having God's favor on us is not dependent on us never making a mistake. No, God gives us the gift of turning toward him and trying to follow him, and when we make mistakes, we can recover. Now, that's what we're going to talk about in communion. That's what we celebrate in communion. The wonderful gift of forgiveness that when we stray from the path, we can always get back on the path. Communion is a way of getting back on the path and celebrating the fact that God forgives us. And we look, we celebrate that here. Now, there's a section here directed especially to young people. The question the writer asks is, how can a young person stay pure? See, it implies that there is a challenge there. You know, for young people facing all the temptation, all the challenges, all the distractions, and facing this before they have attained the full wisdom of maturity, yet there will be miscues, but God wants it. The more we focus on God's word, the more we can avoid making the big mistake that will permanently damage us for life. So the psalm is good news for us, for young people, and for old people, older people, to include the rest of you. The psalm is good news because it reminds us of the fact that we can get back on the path. There was some interesting news in the sports world this week. I'm not a big follower of the NFL, but I, you know, once in a while pay attention to it. And, of course, when it gets to the Super Bowl, I kind of like to watch it. But this week, the news from the NFL was the news about Michael Vick. Michael Vick was a quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons 2 years ago, and then he fell from grace, and he was in prison. He went to prison because he was caught up in a dogfighting business. You know, if you want to unleash the hatred of society on you, get involved in cruelty to animals issues. Well, there was scorn and hatred heaped on Michael Vick, and he was sent to jail for a couple of years, I think, or at least I don't know how much time he served. But anyway, there was Michael Vick. It seemed that his career was done. He was banished from the NFL. Well, in jail, he underwent a rehab and kind of had a conversion, and he was convinced how wrong what he did was, and he committed to all kinds of community service. And this week, Michael Vick signed a new contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, a 6-year contract worth $100 million. And so it's the big comeback story, a second chance. But he won't get to spend the $100 million just yet because he's under court-ordered protection because he went bankrupt. And so he has to squeak by on $300,000 a year until his debts are paid. And he's got a financial advisor that's going to meter out the money. And so he's got to give under accountability. And the estimate is that by 2014, he'll have his debt paid, and then he'll be able to, hopefully has learned a few lessons. But anyway, it's the big, you know, they talk about a second chance. Yes, even in the NFL, there is a second chance, but that's a small story by comparison to God's giving us a second chance and a third chance. And he keeps giving us, when we fall from grace, he is there to pick us up, and he wants us to walk in the path of obedience. Obedience is linked with God's word. As we, the more we saturate ourselves with God's word, the more we'll desire. It's not a matter just of saying, well, you should. No, God puts, I want to, I'd love to, I'm trying to, and God helps us in that pursuit of walking in his ways. And it's a process. None of us are get it all right. But the more we allow the word to saturate, the more God will give us wisdom in how to make progress one step at a time. And sometimes it's slow progression, but it's worth it. So God has a plan for us. The third theme that I want to touch on is the theme of intellectual enlightenment. God's word enlightens us. Verse 18, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. Wisdom is linked with God's words. Verse 24, your decrees please me. They give me wise advice. Verse 99, yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your decrees. I am wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way. Yes, the Bible links wisdom and intelligence with following God's words. So if you want to increase your IQ, and I think it's entirely within the realm of possibility and probability, we can increase our IQ by studying and memorizing the Bible. Now, some of you will remember Bill Gothard. He did seminars in the 70s and 80s, and people would fill stadiums. He had basic youth conflicts course. In fact, I think it's still going in a very small way. But he held out the theory that he had proven this in some probably unscientific way, that the students that memorized the Bible performed better on tests than those who didn't. So I don't know, there's all kinds of variables there, but I accept the fact that the more we saturate ourselves with God's wisdom, the brighter we're going to be, the better we're going to be at making decisions, and so there is an enlightenment that happens. See, the Bible answers life's deepest questions, where we came from, where we're going, and what the meaning of life is, and so it helps us to have this comprehensive, well-rounded approach to life. Faith and reason are compatible, and God wants us to think. Remember the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He wants our mind to be engaged and satisfied. So God isn't afraid of people who dig and search and think and ask questions. Cults don't want you to ask questions. But in Christianity, in the Christian church, in the Christian community, we invite people to be thinking and exploring as we study God's word together. And so it is an important pursuit, and it's encouraging. You know, it's back to school time, and going to school is a time of educating ourselves, enlightening ourselves. And I want to just speak a word of encouragement to the teachers. I have a lot of respect for teachers. I think teaching is it's a high calling. It's a difficult calling. Every time you go to the front of a class, it takes energy, a lot of energy, to get the attention. And so we want to pray for the teachers and encourage the teachers. We want to encourage the teachers in this school and bless them. And so I hope that you will, you know, that there will be some unforgettable words, positive words that you share with your students, and that they'll remember. And then for if you're going back as a student, I want you to go back like you're on a mission. Yeah, you're really determined to get the most out of school. Give it your best. Do your homework. You know, respect your teachers and be diligent. It'll be a tremendously rewarding experience for you. Theme number 4, the theme of comfort and encouragement. Verse 25 says, I lie in the dust completely discouraged. Revive me by your word. Then verse 28, I weep with grief. Encourage me by your word. Difficulties are a fact of life. No matter what path you choose, no matter what school you go to, no matter what course you take, no matter what career you choose, what business you choose, where you end up in job, no matter whether you get married or don't get married, no matter who you marry, there will be difficulties and problems and challenges on that path. Yesterday's National Post had a big spread on Conrad Black, who is on his way back to jail this week to finish his 13 months of prison time for a crime he says he didn't commit. And I'm kind of sympathetic with Conrad Black in his story, but that's a sidebar. But here's what he said. He said, I accept the Pope's view. He's a devout Roman Catholic. He said, I accept the Pope's view that life is a cruciform, like a cross, and that all of us suffer personally or through natural disaster. In other words, you can't escape suffering. Though we don't know why, So either you fight on or you give up. And he is choosing to fight on. And so I think that is the right choice. We're going to face difficulty. Now, Conrad Black, a sidebar here, his anecdotal research indicates that he guesses, it's his estimate that 20% of people that are in jail in the U.S. are there for no crime that they've committed. And that's just as an injustice. So injustice is really quite rampant in this world. And so we can expect a certain amount of injustice. So let's hope that we don't end up in jail as a matter of injustice. But there will be an injustice. Sometimes you won't get the grade that you really deserved in your class, or you won't get accepted to something. There's all kinds of injustice, or somebody will sell you a really bad car or something minor. But it does happen, right? And then or a leaky condo or whatever. So injustice happens in the world. Bad things happen. Now, what we do with that difficulty will determine how far we go in life, how much we grow, and what we'll achieve. And that's where encouragement comes in. We need encouragement. Let's be open to encouragement. If we open ourselves to God's word, we open ourselves up to a constant stream of encouragement. The Bible is just full of encouragement. Last week, Wayne was reading at the staff meeting from Jeremiah 32, it was actually. Jeremiah 32 says, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you." Oh, there it is. That's great. Nothing is too hard for you. I mean, isn't that just profoundly encouraging? What comes to your mind in your life? Could God change this? Nothing is too hard for you. You know, the first thing that usually comes to our mind is how God would remove the obstacles out of our life. But then we should also consider how God is going to change us to embrace the obstacles in our life and make the best of it. And to keep going. Nothing is too hard for God. I find that just, I get a tingle up my spine when I review that thought. Nothing is too hard for God. And that occurs quite a few times in the Bible. We have a repetition of that wonderfully encouraging word. Let's receive the encouragement that God is offering us through other people or through each other. But God wants us to be encouraged. The final theme is the theme of freedom and contentment. Verse 45 says, "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commands." 165, "Those who love your law have great peace and do not stumble." Yes, God wants us to have the freedom of living under the protection of his law. That's counterintuitive, right? When we think of following God's law, it kind of is confining and limiting. But no, it's freedom. Freedom from all the bad stuff and the evil stuff and then the joy of walking in the very generous area of the good life that God holds out for us. Yes, God wants us to have contentment. Just the inner peace. When people ask me, what is for you the greatest benefit of being a Christ follower? Without a doubt, my mind goes, the biggest benefit of being a Christ follower is the peace, the inner peace, the contentment, the profound contentment that comes to my life and heart, a contentment. So if you're lacking in contentment, give more gratitude. I think gratitude and contentment go, the more we are grateful we are, the more contented we'll be. Yes, contentment is linked with perspective. So often we can get caught up in breaking the rules of a book that is entitled "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff." You know, we can get very agitated about things that are really from a different perspective, very unimportant. So let's embrace the contentment that God wants to give us. Yes, in the fall of the year, it's kind of a new beginning for us. So let's make time for God's word. Now, You know, it would be great if we would do like Kim, our worship leader here, was telling this morning when she was meeting with God. Well, that's quite a testimony, and I admire that, and I hope that's not just on Sundays when you're leading worship, and I know it isn't, right? But I'm not going to judge you because I know how hard it is to have, and all of us have different schedules and different personalities, and we're going to manage it differently, and I'm not going to judge anybody, but this is what I have no problem pleading with you about. Make room for God's word somehow. Maybe it's on your iPod. Just program it in, and once in a while, a podcast or a CD or something, or when you're driving to work or online. I've recently found it very helpful to go online and read the Daily Bread because sometimes I lose track of where I put it, and so if I just go on. Online, you can get a daily all kinds of helps online that pops up, and you can spend a moment with God to just tune in with God. Find some way, your way. I'm not going to outline the way for you. God can guide you and give you a sense of freedom. Maybe when you're jogging, you recite verses or walking or whatever. Let's commit ourselves because there's so much positive stuff linked with God's word, and we've only scratched the surface here today. But God is with us. Well, let's move to celebrate our relationship with God through Jesus in communion and do that with joy. The worship team is going to come, and Wayne's going to come, and God bless you, Wayne.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Peter. That's a great psalm that